Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It's wonderful to be here tonight. It's wonderful to have yet another opportunity to gather here and to worship the Lord, to sing His praises, to study His Word. You just never know how many more opportunities we're going to have to do this, so each one is precious. Before we get started tonight, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, seeking thy guidance and thy direction, asking, O God, that thy presence would be here, that thy spirit would be here, that thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us. We ask for thy guidance, thy direction, as we sing unto thee, as we worship thee. Inspire us, O God, to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth, to worship thee from the heart, to give thee our hearts, for we know that that's what it means to worship thee, to give thee our hearts. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst direct this entire service, each and everything we do, let everything be done according to thy perfect will. We ask, O God, that thy presence would be here, that there would be no hindrances here tonight, but that thy spirit would have free course here today. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your chorus book handy, we're going to start with number 83 tonight, From the Rising of the Sun. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. From the rising sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise. why don't we go to number 11 and sing, Let's Just Praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. 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 Glory to God. Well, why don't we go to number 47 and sing, Lord, make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Praise the Lord. 128, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely in the light of His glory and grace. Praise the Praise the Lord. You know, even though we're here on this earth, through our eyes of faith we can turn upon Jesus, and through our faith we can see Him. But you know, that's wonderful, of course, but there's a day coming when we'll get to see Him with our very own physical eyes face to face, and what a day that will be. So why don't we go to number 131 and sing What a Day That Will Be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 111 and sing, I Shall Know Him. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the touch of the nail prints in His hands. To God. Well, that will be wonderful when we get to see Him face to face. Praise the Lord. And we will be with Him for all eternity. Glory to God. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, I come before Thee this night, thanking Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. Thanking Thee, O God, for Thy many abundant blessings. We thank Thee for all that Thou hast given us, Lord. This place where we can come together in Thy name and worship Thee and sing unto Thee and study Thy word. For we know what a great blessing that is, and we are so thankful that Thou hast given us everything that we have. We know that we would be completely lost and helpless without Thy blessings, Lord. And so we thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us. I ask, O God, that Thou hast given us wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the sake of Thy name. And I ask, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a few prayer requests to cover tonight. The first one, we have a prayer request here for Vicky's daughter, Mary. I guess she's going in for a procedure tomorrow to remove a cancerous spot. I believe that would be skin cancer. So we're going to pray about that, and I guess there's also going to be a biopsy. And then we have another prayer request here for Tom Borkenhagen. He is not doing well. They're saying he only has perhaps, it could be anywhere from hours to days left, so if the doctors are correct, it seems like he won't be here on this earth much longer, but he believes he's ready to meet the Lord. In fact, he said he had a vision of the Lord beckoning him, and so we will pray about that. We'll pray for his family. We'll pray for him, and then I'm also going to pray for my wife. She stubbed her foot pretty hard today. I think it was two or three toes that are swollen and scratched up and so forth, so her foot's been hurting quite a bit. She's sort of limping around. And healing in his wings, we got another prayer request. She would like prayer for her lungs, so we'll pray for that also. We've got several requests here to cover tonight, so we're going to go ahead and do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night for Mary, praying, O God, that all would go well with that procedure tomorrow. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst guide the hands of the doctors. We pray that everything would go smoothly, that there would be no problems, but everything would be done, that the cancer would be completely removed, and that the end result would be good. We pray, O God, Lord, that thou wouldst direct everything that happens today. We pray that thou wouldst comfort Mary. Let her feel thy presence as she undergoes this. Let her feel thy comforting touch, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. And Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer tonight on behalf of Tom Bortenhagen and his family. We know, O God, that they're saying he doesn't have much time left here on this earth. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst be with him, comfort him, prepare him to meet thee, to see thee face to face, if that be thy will. And if not, we ask, O God, if it be thy will, that thou might work a miracle regarding his health. But either way, we pray that thy perfect will would be done. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst comfort him, prepare him to see thee. Let there be nothing left in his life unrepented of, Lord, but we ask that he would be ready to see thee face to face. And I pray for his family. I ask, O God, that thou wouldst comfort him in the time of mourning and distress. I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst just let them feel thy loving touch, for we know how difficult it is to go through a situation like this, Lord. And we pray that thou wouldst be with them and help them every step of the way. And Father in heaven, I come before thee in prayer on behalf of my wife tonight, asking, O God, that thou wouldst heal her foot. And anything that may have happened there, I ask, O God, that it would heal quickly, that there would be no permanent damage. But I just pray that thou wouldst touch her from heaven. Let her feel thy touch right now. Let her feel thy healing virtues flow at this very time, we pray, even as we pray unto thee now. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father in heaven, I come before thee in prayer tonight on behalf of healing in his wings, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven and touch her, Lord, with a healing touch tonight, now, even now. Whatever may be wrong with her lungs, we ask for a complete healing, Lord. We pray that she would feel thy touch right now, thy healing virtues, let it flow. Let her breathe normally, we pray. Let there be no obstructions, let there be no hindrances, but we pray, Lord, that thou hast give her a complete and perfect healing. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy Savior. Saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it's wonderful, you know, that we can pray for people. And there's never any shortage of people to pray for, that's for sure. But we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. And, you know, this song just popped into my head earlier. Earlier while we were singing, and it's number 135 in the hymnal, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," number 135. Just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I prove him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me 'neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust me, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, with that thought in mind, we will turn it over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good to us. Oh, He has helped us, that I know, that I'm positive of. I know I read the note that concerned Tom Borgenhagen, and you know, I know we've been praying for him, and you know, I'm so glad that we can bring things to the Lord. And so often we don't know how our prayers are answered precisely. But I know there's always been a concern for him. And I know I'd spoken with Sandy might be a couple months ago. And I know even then he wasn't doing very well. But they always were concerned, Cynthia and Michael, when we were in contact with them more, were always about his soul. Because, you know, not that he was a believer, but it's just like he just didn't really have faith to really reach out to God. And the report was that just the other day before Cynthia got over there, that there was a man next door, I believe he's a pastor, and he came over and prayed with Tom and obviously urged him to give everything to the Lord. And Tom obviously received that. And, you know, it seemed like he raised his hands and acknowledged that he had been forgiven by the Lord and begin to sing a song and worship the Lord and say he was going to live for God. And it just seemed like a very beautiful response that was witnessed by one of the boys. And, you know, we just don't know. Just so many times, you know, this life and death thing, and you may be reaching out for that person in prayer, not always even know just how God intervened. But we do serve a wonderful, faithful God who would have none to perish, but all to come to repentance. That's his great desire, that all would serve him and come to repentance. And I'm so glad we know that. And, you know, we can hide that in our hearts and know when we cry out for people that God is there, God is willing, God knows how to make a way even when it seems impossible. And so, praise the Lord, we can put these things in God's hands and know that he does all things well. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray here tonight and believe the Lord to help us. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness, your riches, oh Lord, oh God, for thy people, Lord. Oh God, the spiritual wealth that you give us, Lord, the reassurances, Lord, the promises, oh God, and oh Lord, the strength that we can gain from your word. God, I just pray, oh Lord, that you touch us here tonight, Lord, that you give us the things that we have need of, Lord. And oh God, that you would talk to our hearts. Oh God, that you'd help this word, oh God, to go forth according to thy directive and thy will, Lord. Oh God, that we could have ears to hear. Oh God, a mind that perceives, oh Lord, eyes that are opened, oh Lord, to thy word and to thy ways, Lord. Oh God, we're so thankful, Lord, for what you put in our hearts. The joy of our salvation, O Lord, and O Lord, to know that, oh, you would come to earth to take away our sin, O Lord, to make a way for us, Lord, so we could have hope in thee. O Lord, we just bring it all before thee, Lord. O God, I ask that you'd work in a special way in all our hearts and that you'd use this message. O God, that you would anoint it, and O God, I pray, O Lord, that it would come forth according to thy will. Oh, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. And, oh, God, we pray, oh, Lord, that, oh, there would be no interference or hindrances, oh, Lord. But, oh, Lord, that, oh, your word would be able to come forth. We thank you in Jesus' name. And, oh, Lord, I pray that you'd reach out and touch everyone tonight, Lord. Those that will hear this message, those online, oh, God. Those that might someday hear this message, Lord, I pray, oh, Lord. Oh, God, that you would minister in a mighty way, Jesus. Oh, God, that we could all get to that higher ground with you and, oh, God, attain thy promises. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our God is faithful. Amen. That we know. We can believe that with all our hearts. Praise the Lord. We're just going to begin with one little verse, and we're going to call this, "They Shall Know." They shall know, and I'm just going to read there from Psalms 46 for a moment. I believe I did read from Psalms 46 last week, but this time we're just going to catch the tail end of it, and praise the Lord. Thank God for his wonderful word that speaks to our hearts and inspires us. It's our roadmap, you know. What would we do without it? Yet there's so many people that disregard it and look to someone else to show them the way and trust somebody else's interpretation. But, you know, the scriptures are not of any private interpretation. They were written by holy men of God that were inspired by God himself. And you know, it's forever settled in heaven. It's established, and it's not something that we can dabble in. It's not something that we can lessen or add to. It's settled. It's established. Praise the Lord. And here we are. We're Psalms 46, verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Just a simple little scripture here, but praise the Lord. What a proclamation. And I know one thing, that there's going to be a day, and it may be very soon really, when every eye is going to see him. Oh yes, they also which pierced him. And there is going to be a cry that comes up when they realize and understand who he is. And how terrible if they have not yet acknowledged him as Lord and Savior, if they've not yet come to his hand to be saved, to his mercy. But they are going to know You're going to be still and know that I am God. He is going to be exalted by the heathen. He is going to be exalted in the earth. It doesn't matter what people's opinions may be at this moment, the disdain they may even have for Almighty God, but there is a day when they are going to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. They are going to acknowledge that they are going to bow the knee and acknowledge His authority and who He is, and what a day that will be. It'll be a wonderful day for the children of God, but not so good for those that have not acknowledged Him as Lord and Savior. But praise the Lord, He is going to be exalted. He is going to be exalted. Amen. Let's go to Deuteronomy here tonight, and want to go through some things in the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy. We can turn there. And we know the book of Deuteronomy was one of the books of Moses, and it reveals his final words, Moses' final words before he died on the mount. And he was reviewing things with the children of Israel at those moments and trying to exhort them. I think he knew their stubbornness very well and all the pain they had, he had really had to endure because of their obstinance and their lack of ability to give their hearts fully to the Lord and really follow God. So, you know, he knew them well. And, you know, it seems like in this book of Deuteronomy, he is just reviewing things again and again and trying to impress upon them the great need that they had to follow after the Lord and not other. So here it is. It's near the very end of this book. And he's exhorting them to bring forth this covenant. And here he is. They had made a covenant with God in Horeb, but now they were in the land of Moabites, in the land of Moab, and here again it was time for them to renew the covenant and to go over it all again. And here is Moses. He's talking to them, and he's telling them, he's talking to all Israel. He gathered them all together here. He called them all together, and he's urging them to remember the things that they'd already seen. They'd already seen great wonders and miracles. Second verse says, "Ye have seen all the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land." And he goes on and says, "The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles." Oh, they had been a privileged people. Oh, yes, God had been with them and led them and given them everything they needed, and they had seen signs, they had seen wonders, they had seen miracles. And it says in verse 4, "Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear until this day." It just seems like they had just been blind and deaf. But here Moses is saying, "And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you. Thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have ye drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I, the Lord, your God," or "I am the Lord, your God." And again, we see that God had fully provided for them. He had fully provided for them. Their clothes had not waxen old. Wonder of wonders, their shoes had not waxen old upon their foot. And I know in another portion of Scripture it tells how their feet had not swollen as they walked those many miles. They had been able to carry on and go forward. And they hadn't needed bread. God had fed them miraculously the manna And I just believe that must have been the superfood of all superfoods. You know, we hear a lot about superfoods these days, but I have a feeling everything nutritionally that was needed in that manna was in it. And, you know, the strength and everything that they needed, the nutrition that they needed was in that bread, I do declare. So they didn't need other provisions. God had been very faithful. All that they needed was provided for them. And then besides that, God had delivered them. It says that when you came unto this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh. So anyway, again, God had worked with them. He had delivered them. Everything was taken care of. All their needs, all their provisions. What more could you ask? But here he's exhorting them, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. And he says, ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of the wood and unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day. So there they were. They were all gathered together, every one of them. And God was asking them to enter into this covenant. It says in verse 13 that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. In other words, it would be for the generations that were yet to come. And it tells us in verse 16, for you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which you passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it shall come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. Just going to stop here a minute. God had also helped them to observe the ways of the heathen. And of course, we already noted how God had delivered them from the heathen people, but they had opportunity to observe their pagan customs. And of course, they had been familiar with the heathen customs even in Egypt, as they had long dwelt there. But it should have been enough for them to know how abominable those traditions were, and how those idols that the heathen served, those idols of wood and stone or silver and gold, had no power, were of no avail, were, you know, just things that men had conjured up and created themselves according to their own image. And so they should have known. They should have had, you know, these examples. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you look at the examples of other people and you see other roots, you know, the way the transgressor is hard. And so often I've observed people who do not follow the Lord, do not lead easy lives either. It can seem like there's one pesky thing after another in many of these individuals' lives. And it's easy to observe that if you're looking at all. And of course, these Israelite people had occasion to observe the customs of the pagan cultures that they had to go through and those that they had lived around. So they should have known. They should have known how disgusting those customs were and how abominable to God. And, you know, of course, you know, God, He wanted them to be His own particular people. He wanted to establish them as a people for Himself. And we know that's the way it is today. God has a people that He's reserved unto Himself, a people that know their Lord, that know their God and shall do exploits, a people that have faith and walk by faith, you know, and they're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. Even today, God's chosen people are in that category that we should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His glorious light. You know, it is a wonderful privilege to know the Lord. We just see so many people who don't have a clue, that walk in darkness and have to, you know, trust whatever in order to find relief. But praise the Lord, we can know the Lord. We can be His people. We can be that people that He has established unto Himself. And that is what He desired for the Israelite people under His first covenant. But yet we know how they fell and how they were hindered and how they didn't listen and how they were snared. And here they're being warned as Moses is asking them to join in with this covenant, this peace pact, or this promise with God. Yes, there were conditions. If they would live according to God's ways, His rules, His decrees, then all would be well. He had blessings that were just amazing for His people. But on the other hand, if they fell short and didn't listen and went their own way, then there were curses. There would be bondages. There would be hindrances. There would be snares. They would fall into all kinds of traps. And so here, in this 29th chapter of Deuteronomy, they're being exhorted. And the 18th verse again says, "Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood." Oh, those bitter elements there that were not nice at all. And of course, we have to be careful too. As Christians, as children of the Lord, we have to be careful. We have to look diligently. It tells us in Hebrews the 12th chapter, "Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and therefore many be hindered, many be defiled." I believe is the word there in Hebrews the 12th chapter. Many be defiled. That bitterness, that root of bitterness that gets into hearts, oh, how ugly it is. How ugly it is. It can not only destroy an individual, but many people can also be defiled and troubled because of it. Oh, we don't want any root of bitterness in our hearts. Oh, that's why we give everything to the Lord. That's why we surrender everything to Jesus. Even the things that we can't understand, we give it to the Lord. And here, Moses was telling these Israelites people, you know, don't do that. Don't let your heart go away from serving God. Don't go to those gods of the heathen nations all around, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Oh, yes, how contagious that can be. How bitter that can be. And then it says in verse 19, "And it come to pass when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my own heart to add drunkenness to thirst." I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. And it seems like to me that it's kind of like that today. There's an awful lot of people that profess that they're Christians. And just, you know, even though they're walking after the imagination of their own heart, they still think that they're going to be blessed in that. But the truth is, they're deceived. They're deceived. They've been beguiled by that serpent. They have been misled, and those deceptive spirits have taken hold of them, thinking that they can have peace, even though they're walking in their own imaginations and doing the things that please themselves. Oh, my. God says, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, doesn't he, there in Isaiah 55, that our ways are not his ways. Oh, yes, he's clearly told us that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts than our thoughts. We know that, and you know, man is so easily deceived. But God sees through it all. God sees through it all. And verse 20 says, the Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord in his jealousy shall smote against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. And even more, the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Well, I'll tell you what, I think we better follow after the Lord. I think we better give our whole life to the Lord and surrender our will to him, because God sees it all, doesn't he? There is nothing that is hidden from him. And God said he would not spare that person who walks in the imagination of his own heart to add drunkenness to thirst. Oh my, people living in sin and still thinking they're okay, which is a very common thing these days. Oh, Psalms 125, verse 4 and 5. As for such as turn aside into their own crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. But peace shall be upon Israel. Oh, I'll tell you what, it's not going to pay to turn from the living God. It's not going to pay to turn to your own devices, your own ways, your own thinking. No, in Hebrews, the third chapter, we're warned, lest we have an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. It happened to the children of Israel, didn't it? It happened to them in the wilderness. They didn't have faith. They didn't go forward. They had an evil heart of unbelief, and they did depart from the living God. We have to look back there. We have to notice the pattern here and realize if it happened to them, it could happen to us. And oh my, we're so much admonished in so many scriptures, the need to truly give our hearts to the Lord. I know there's an interesting portion of scripture in the minor prophet Zephaniah, the very first chapter. And just looking at that a minute here, the first chapter of Zephaniah, verse 4 says, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place in the name of the Camerons with the priests and them that worship the hosts of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. And again, I know good and well, there's a lot of people that worship the host of heaven. There's a lot of people that look at astrology and follow after it, and they might claim to be a Christian. And so it was with old Israel. It seemed like, you know, they would try to do both. They would try to, you know, swear by the Lord and swear by Malcolm, one of the gods. And you know, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. God wants us to serve him and him only. We're not to have any other gods before him. He's God and God alone. And he frowns heavily upon any that would try to serve any others. And it tells us in verse 6 here in Zephaniah 1, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. Oh yes, the severe warnings for those that turn back, that give up, that reject, and that don't seek God. Oh, and don't inquire after him. They go to gods of stone, silver or gold or whatever, and seek them, or worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and try to still claim that they're a Christian. Oh yes, I know it's happening even these days, that many try to serve two masters. But Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. You're going to, you know, love the one and despise the other. You just can't do both. It's just plain not going to work. And also, Paul exhorted us in the epistles, in 1 Corinthians 6, chapter, verse 19, he writes, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Oh yes, we give everything to God, and our life is a reflection on who we serve. You know, it's either the God of this world or it's our Heavenly Father. Our body is a dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. And we don't want to mock what God has put in our hearts. Of course, 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, also has much to say. If we look at the end portion of that chapter also, verse 14, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with the infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." There's nothing more glorious than that. Oh yes, when our lives are really in accord with the Word of God, and we know that He dwells in our heart, when we all are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that dwelling place, that temple of the living God. And yes, we know that He said, "I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." But He has expectations of His people. Verse 17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Oh yes, the promises of God for His people. A body being the temple of the Holy Ghost, and yeah, God doesn't expect us to live in sin. There's no way, if we're truly living for God, that we're even going to want to live in sin. Yes, we might make mistakes from time to time, but praise the Lord, we won't want to continue in that state. No, we'll give it to the Lord and repent and turn from that and go forward serving the Lord with all our heart. But yet, as it tells us here in Deuteronomy, there are so many that want to just bless themselves in their heart and saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. Oh my, thinking they're all right. But God said, the Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Oh my, oh, we don't want these things to be upon us by any means. Oh, we certainly don't want our name blotted out of the book of life. And praise the Lord, we can continue with the Lord. We can live for the Lord. We can put every day in His hands and go forward. And, you know, praise the Lord, if, you know, we happen to make mistakes, if we happen to fall into a trap, we can confess it before the living God, knowing that He is faithful and just to cleanse us from our sins, to forgive us for all iniquity, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing, a wonderful privilege. And it tells us here in Deuteronomy, "And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the law." All the things that had been written as curses, because not only are blessings given to the children of God, but there's those potential curses if they fell into the bondage of the devil. They fell into the traps of the heathen and did after them. And so it tells us in verse 22, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they shall see the plagues of that land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zabion, or Zebion, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all the nations shall say, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? There would be evidence if the children of Israel didn't walk after the Lord, then the plagues and the sicknesses would come upon them. Otherwise, they were free from those if they had walking in the blessings of the Lord. And also, there would be a curse upon the land. It would bear. It wouldn't grow. There wouldn't be any grass. It would be like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zebion, or Zebion. And, you know, it would be evidence to the others. The nations would therefore cry and wonder, wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? They would wonder, what is wrong with these people? They were to be blessed, not cursed. But there would be an answer. There would be an answer. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord, God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and cast them into another land as it is this day. And then it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So you can see that there would be consequences to sin if they went and served other gods, if they forsook the covenant of the Lord, their God, who had brought them out of Egypt and delivered them and provided for them and done so many wonderful things for them. God's anger would be kindled. And it tells us they would be rooted out of their land in God's anger and in his wrath and in his great indignation. And they would be cast into another land, as it is this day. Now, if we just go on a little bit, we know this was the time of Moses here, just before his life's journey was over. And he was giving them some final words, which they needed to listen to very drastically, very seriously. They really needed these words of life and encouragement. But we know that time went on, and it seems that as long as Joshua, who followed Moses, was alive, that they did pretty well. And as long as the elders that had been alive remained among them, they still did pretty well. But after that time, we have the period of the judges, and all at once we know for sure that the children of Israel were not doing well. And of course, after a while, after many judges, then they began to request a king. And we know that Samuel the prophet knew better than that. He knew what a king would do for them and not do for them. And you know, what they were asking for was not truly God's perfect will for them by any means. But yet, they wanted to be like the other nations, and they wanted a king, and God did give them over to their own devices. And so it was. There were many kings that followed. A few, really, followed after God, and most of them followed after their own imagination and their own ways. And the Israelite people followed after those kings. And so it wasn't too good for them, was it? And we know what happened, that soon the 10 northern tribes are taken over by the Assyrians, and then years later, the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were taken over by the Babylonians. And if we go to the book of Ezekiel, we're in that time period when Jerusalem had been taken over, and many of the people of Judah had been taken into captivity. Many of them had been brought to Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans, and included among them was Ezekiel, who was a priest, the son of Buzi. And here he was in a strange land, the land of the Chaldeans. But he was among those that feared the Lord. Even though he was a captive, God was working in him. And God gave Ezekiel visions and showed him many, many, many things that are truly amazing. But here in Ezekiel 36, we have the Lord talking to him and telling him what he needed to know for that moment. And I believe we'll go look at verse 16 here in Ezekiel 36. And because the Israelite people had not followed after God, because they had broken that covenant that we just read of there in that 29th chapter of Deuteronomy. Well, here we have the end result here. They have been led away into captivity. They're in the land of the Chaldeans, many of them. But yet God was faithful to talk to them, and he used Ezekiel the prophet for one of them to admonish them and to encourage them, to give them words of life. So here we have Ezekiel speaking. Verse 16, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman." And we just, you know, had read, you know, they were told exactly not to do that. But they had gone that way anyway. They went according to their own way. They defiled that land by their unbelief, by their sin, by their doings, by following their own way, the rebellion. So God says, "Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman." And then verse 18, "Therefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it." Oh yes, that blood cries out. The blood of the poor innocents that is shed unneedingly without a cause. But they had done such things, and idolatry, which is so forbidden by Almighty God. They had polluted the land. Therefore God had poured out his fury upon them. And after he poured it out, he said, "I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them." So they were taken out, weren't they, of the good land, the promised land that God had given them, and they were scattered among the heathen, and they were dispersed, and not only to Babylon, but throughout many of the countries round about them, according to their weight, according to their doings, they were judged. And it tells us that when they entered into the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name when they said to them, "These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land." In other words, they were a disgrace. They were a shame. They were an embarrassment to God. You know, his people like that, you know, behaving like that, you know, following after idols and you know, doing all kinds of abominable works. These are my people. Oh, it was a shame. It was a disgrace. It was an embarrassment to a righteous God. And he saw it. He noted it, obviously. And I have a feeling that it's like that these days too. How many people consider themselves to be Christians? and yet do great shame to the name of God. How many of those people, you know, it's a disgrace to think that this is even considered a Christian nation and yet very unchristian. That's a reproach. You know, it's really something to, you know, use the name of Christ and be falsely representing an holy God. But that's the way it is, and that's the way it was actually when Jesus came on the scene. Oh, he had to reprove the Jewish people many times. One example, of course, is Matthew 15, where he called them hypocrites and said, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you saying?" Oh, he said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me." You know, a lot of pretense, a lot of hypocrisy. And so it is this day, a lot of people just, you know, using that name. But what's behind it? Is there a life behind it? If we're really Christians, then it means that we're Christ-like. It means then that we have the characteristics of Jesus Christ, or at least we're striving for that. And, you know, that should be our goal, to be more like Jesus. But as you know, it was in the day of Jesus, so many people worship God's teaching for doctrines, the commandments. A man is a pretense, you know, they might take something, it might be out of the Talmud, and you know, maybe be interpreted as scripture. Oh yes, this happens, you know, it might be a philosophy out of a book. Oh, it might be the teachings of a priest or whatever, but you know, if it's not God's word, there's a big difference. There's, you know, it's not to be held in our heart if it's not God's word. It's nothing to be esteemed, it's nothing to be valued, it's nothing to be treasured. And it shouldn't be a representation of what is God's, what is holy. But here it was, these Israelite people had profaned the name of God among the heathen. Again, verse 22, "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whether you went." Oh yes, they had dragged it down. They had defiled that name. They had made it common. They had made it unholy. They had dragged the name of God with their filthy living and their hypocrisy. But God was still going to have a people. God was still going to be known. God was still going to be known among the heathen. And so it is today. God is going to have a people, regardless of what it looks like, how dark the days may seem, and how few it may seem that truly follow after the Lord. I truly believe that God has reserved unto himself a people that will not bow the knee to Baal or kiss his image. God is going to have a people who are faithful and true, no matter if it's just a scattering of people here and there. Yet, there will be a faithful people that will stand before their God and hear him say, "Well done." In verse 23 here tells us, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord." They shall know that I am the Lord. There's got to be a representative. There's got to be an ambassador. There's got to be somebody who stands for truth and doesn't bow the knee to Baal and kiss his image. Oh yes, we're living in such a day, you know, the false representation of God and the people that embrace pagan practices and still think they're Christians, that live in sin. God said, God forbid. that if you know that you should live in sin, that you could continue in sin. God forbid. It's not a way of life for a true Christian. But all those customs of the people, all those things that are vanity to God, all those things that are abominations, so many people have embraced, and it seems that they don't even know the difference. You know, I know there's Christian so-called churches that have Halloween parties. I'm sure they have Valentine parties. They have egg hunts. You know, they celebrate Christmas. They put up Christmas trees. And many of them probably follow astrology and all of that, you know, and other occultic matters for all that. And yet, you know, they want to consider themselves right in God's sight. I'll tell you what, that's profaning the name of God. That's blasphemy to God. But yet, he said that he would sanctify his great name, which was profaned among the heathen. The heathen are going to know who God is. And it says, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. And then it says, for I will take you from among the heathen and will gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. God was going to do it. Oh yes, and we know that God has a glorious church, that he's going to present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. A church that is holy, that will stand before God one day. And he's going to say, well done to them. He has reserved unto himself a people. And so it tells us here, for I will take you from among the heathen and will gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. Oh yes, there was going to be a cleansing required. Just as when Josiah, King of Judah, discovered the Word of God, you know, and all at once he rent his garments and realized, hey, oh, all these filthy things are among us. There had to be a cleansing. There had to be a restoration. They had to get right with God. And so cleansing is required. And of course, praise the Lord, we can come to God in repentance. Praise the Lord, we can come to him, realizing our sin and turning it over to God and asking him to have mercy and to forgive us. And praise the Lord, it talks about sprinkling clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Oh yes, praise the Lord, we can go down into the waters of baptism. Oh yes, we can be buried with Christ in those waters for the remission of sins. As it says in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. We repent of our sins. And then we're commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of our sins. Oh yes, those waters of baptism, that clean water that cleanses us, that restores us. Oh yes, under the law they had to wash in the laver. The priest, the high priest, they had to cleanse themselves before they could enter into that holy place, the holiest of holies. They had to cleanse themselves. If they would have refused, they would have died. It was necessary that they would wash themselves before they entered in to that holy place. I think if we want to enter into that holy place called heaven, we better be clean. Yes, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Oh, wonderful gift of God, yes. Oh, that we can have a conscience that's all free from the past. Oh, yes, and that we can glorify God, therefore. And not only that, it tells us in verse 27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do that. Praise the Lord, he puts his spirit within us. Oh, yes, it was prophesied. Oh, yes, that there was going to be a new covenant that would come forth, a new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ that would come forth. And praise the Lord, with that new covenant, there would come the indwelling of the Spirit of God into our hearts, into our lives, so that that law would be written in our inward parts. And it would be written in our hearts, as it tells us in Jeremiah 31, and also in Hebrews 8th and 10th chapter. It tells us, oh yes, he was going to put his law in our inward parts. He was going to write it on our hearts. And then he would be our God, and we would be his people. Yes, we come out from among them, and we're separate. We're separated from the world. We can't mingle and mix and still expect to be God's children. No, because he's called us to be a holy, separated people, his own peculiar treasure. And he does expect us to walk after his ways, his counsel. He expects us to live above sin and reproach. He expects us to acknowledge him. He expects us to be a testimony so that they can see Jesus in us, so that they'll know that there's something different in us. You know, if we're just like everybody else, how would they know that we're Christians? What kind of testimony would that be? And that's exactly what happened to old Israel. They became like all the others. They became like the heathens. So there was no difference between them and God. Or, you know, it wasn't clear anymore that they were the children of God. And therefore, God removed himself from them. But praise the Lord, there was a time when he was going to restore and call them back in spite of all the profanity that they had caused, all the blasphemy, all the disgusting ways that they had embraced. Yet God was going to have mercy upon them. And praise the Lord, he did do that, didn't he? Oh yes, our Heavenly Father came to this earth. Yes, as a Son of God, he came to this earth, oh yes, to bring about great salvation for a people of God, and not just Jews, but there would be a Gentile people that he would call to himself, that would come out of Babylon, so to speak, and be his own peculiar people, his own peculiar treasure. And yes, it says, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Yes, because the Lord plants them in our heart. When he gives us the Holy Ghost, it's to lead and to guide us into all truth. He knew that we needed more than the options that were possible under the old law. He knew that we needed to have the Spirit of God within us, talking to our hearts. We needed the Comforter deep within. Oh yes, as it tells us in John, the 14th chapter, verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Yes, he was going to put his spirit in us. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Oh yes, he would put that Spirit, the Spirit that was in Jesus, the Spirit of Almighty God within us. What more could we desire than that? That the Lord would be in us, that he would lead us, that he would guide us, that he would direct us, that he would show us things to come. And you know, the things that we needed to do, and that we'd hear that voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it when you go to the right hand and when you go to the left. That's the Spirit of the Lord directing us, helping us, oh yes, delivering us, setting us free, and showing us the things that we so desperately need to know as human beings. Oh yes, so yes, it would be just, you know, a matter of the law, as a law of stone, the ordinances and all that had been under the old covenant, but it was going to be the Lord directing us, putting his Spirit in our hearts, causing us to walk in his statutes, keeping his judgments, and doing them because, yes, he breathes them into us. He shows them unto us. And he gives us a mind to know this is right and that is wrong. And of course, it's in God's Word. It's all confirmed in his Word, and we can walk in it. And yes, verse 28 here in Ezekiel, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and I will increase it, and will lay no famine among you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. In other words, he would bless his people. Yes, their desires, their needs would be met by an almighty God. But there's something else God's people have in common. It tells us in verse 31, then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Oh yes, there's a spirit of repentance. Yes, when God begins to show us our old ways, and he shows us the evil that's in our heart, the deceitfulness that's in our heart, and all at once it becomes clear to us, all at once, can't stand ourselves. We can't hardly bear, you know, all those things that we once did. It becomes, you know, something that we loathe, that we hate, you know, that we don't even like to remember. But praise the Lord, we can bring it to the Lord Jesus, knowing that he is faithful and just forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful and just to do that. And it's his pleasure to do that. And praise the Lord, he begins to rebuild our lives. He begins to give us hope. He begins to restore the things that the locust and the cankerworm, the palmer worm, they had once destroyed. Oh yes, he begins to restore all of that and bring it back. And this chapter begins, it continues to talk about the restoration that God causes in our lives when we truly repented and come to him and been baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 32, not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. Oh yes, what happens? The reproach is gone. The heathen aren't going to say anymore, well, what's up with them? How come, you know, it's all going wrong? How come, you know, their land is barren? How come the grass doesn't grow? No, the Lord begins to restore our lives and make us fruitful if we're living in Him. Yes, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. The waste of the desolate and ruined cities are become fenced, are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Yes, the glory belongs to God. Oh, He does it for His own name's sake. Yes, that it would not be reproached among the heathen. Oh, that it would not be profaned. Oh, even among those so-called Christians that are not living that kind of life. But the Lord knows how to restore, how to bring back, if people will only come to Him in repentance and serve Him faithfully. Thus saith the Lord God, verse 37, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as a holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, and God's people come alive. Oh, yes, as it tells us in the next chapter of Ezekiel, when those dead bones come alive and the Spirit of God enters into them, the breath of the Lord. Oh, yes, because when He fills us with the Holy Ghost, He breathes into us His Spirit. Oh, yes, so that we can be fruitful, so that we can be changed, oh, so that we're no longer a reproach among the people. You know, He restores all things and makes it new, doesn't He? Oh, yes. Yes, we come out from among them as a separate people. We don't touch the unclean thing. And God said He would receive us. Yes, He said, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Oh, what a wonderful testimony it is when lives are really given to the Lord and we walk in the newness of life. Oh, yes, as it says in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians, the 17th verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what a wonderful thing it is. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, that we can be brought to Christ, that our sins can be taken care of, that we can be Christians, that we can be like the Lord. We can have the mind of Christ. The wonderful ministry of reconciliation, that we could be brought back to God, that we could be His sons and His daughters. Oh, what a wonderful testimony it is. Oh, yes, as He said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted upon the earth. And yes, that day is forthcoming. Oh, yes, every eye is going to see Him. And they also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. They're going to know who He is at that moment. Oh, they're going to realize their fallen state and what they had needed to do when they were yet with time, with opportunity. Oh, yes. All are going to see Him, that's right, and all at once. As it tells us in Philippians, that wonderful one, that name that's been exalted above every name, that name, Jesus. That wonderful name, that at His name, that every knee is going to bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, they are all going to know he's been highly exalted. He's been given that name above every name. And praise the Lord, we have this opportunity right now to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. We have that opportunity to come to him. Repentance. Oh yes, to be restored and to let those pure waters of baptism cleanse us. The Spirit of God come into our heart, taking away that stony heart. Oh yes, that stony, rebellious heart that can't be moved, that can't be changed. But praise the Lord can give us a heart of flesh that can be touched by a living God, that can be molded and shaped, and made to walk in the ways of the Lord. Yes, because he puts His Spirit in us, and causes us to walk in his statutes and in his ways. And we are no longer then a reproach to God, but a testimony of his saving grace, of his mercy. And praise the Lord. The psalmist said, Psalms 40, oh, he talked about that horrible pit. And we were all in that horrible pit when we were in sin. We were all in that miry clay. But the psalmist David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. When that cry comes forth, that cry of repentance, that cry for the living God, oh yes, God hears that. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Oh yes, that rock, Christ Jesus. Oh yes, he took our lives as unfit as they were, as full of all this and that and confusion. Oh, he took it and made something of value out of us. He established our goings, and then he put a new song in our mouths, a new song of praise, even unto our God. And praise the Lord, it says, many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, I love what God has done for his people. Yes, he wants us to be his own peculiar treasure. Yes, a called out people, a people that walk in the light and reflect his image. That's what he wants us to be, his own people. And praise the Lord, the people shall know, in spite of these horrendous times, God has reserved unto himself a people. Oh yes, just as he told Elijah, when Elijah was cast down and thought he was the only one, yet God told Elijah that he had reserved unto himself 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal nor kissed his image. And Paul wrote in the 11th chapter of Romans that even to this day, this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. God still has a people. God still has a people that will walk with him. And whether you and I do, God is still going to have somebody that stands up for what is right, that walks with God, that lives in the state of repentance and serves the living God, that listens to the Spirit, that talks to the heart, the Holy Ghost, that talks to the heart. Oh, praise the Lord. We are blessed. We have opportunity, just as the prophets gave the people opportunity to turn from their unholy ways and to come to the living God. We have opportunities. And praise the Lord, we live in this wonderful period of time of grace. Oh, yes, this new covenant. And if our lives are right with the Lord, the people shall know that we are the Lord's. We will know that God lives and that He is in a people, that He's called out of darkness and into His glorious light. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, we praise Thee, Lord. We ask, O Lord, that You would work in our hearts. O God, that You'd get us to that place, Lord, that You'd call even those tonight, O Lord, that yet need to surrender to Thee, O Lord. O God, that need to give their hearts to Thee. Lord, I pray, O Lord, that You would work, O Lord, and that You would help all of us. O Lord, to be that people, Lord. O God, that live above reproach. O Lord, that do Thy will and that stand up for the things, O Lord, that are in Thy heart. The people that are Thine, O Lord Jesus, and that acknowledge Thee and live according to Thy will. And I thank You, Lord, for this privilege. O Lord, speak to our hearts, Lord, and make us what we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to go to number 72 in the chorus book and sing, "For He is Lord." Number 72. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you.